together with our families, especially at the holidays, and it's a time of joy and celebration, lots of laughter. Our families' lives inspire us. Yes? Yeah. And they're great cheerleaders for our latest adventures. We go to our families to be, you know, buoyed up and inspired and cheered for. And this, of course, is the case for some of us. For others, it's quite different, right? And it always seems that there might be someone in the mix who sometimes just gets under our skin a little bit or a little thorn in the side. Not always, and not always with family. It may just be in the gatherings that we find ourselves in, especially throughout the holiday season. And so Phil's song set us up really nicely for this process. It made me think of a time when I did a wedding and this man from another country could not get over that there was a female preacher there doing the wedding. And he kept talking to me about it and talking to me about it. And I thought, I am not going to mention the gay part because that's really going to throw him. We're never even going to be able to do the ceremony if we go there. So. But you know, it's that otherness that we're always jockeying, you know? It's an interesting thing, and yet at the same time, we love our diversity, that we can always find our work. We can always find the places where we're not joyful about welcoming in the diversity. We can find those rough places. I often think of, my sister used to love, when we were kids, to use the rock tumbler. Did anybody have a rock tumbler when you were kids? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, a lot of you did. So you throw the rocks in there, you know, you find them all over the place, and then they come out really nice and smooth. And I often think life is like that, you know, just throw a bunch of us together and see what happens when you press the button. Eventually, the idea is that we'll come out smooth, you know, shiny and new, beautiful. And really, I think that's true. That is what happens. But it can be a journey, right? It can be a journey for us to find those places of harmony and peace, to really work together to bring forth the best of what diversity brings for us in all of its ways. Today, it seems a lot of us are faced more with the challenge of diversity around our ideologies and our ideas about how the world best could work. And those seem to be the places where a lot of us are bumping up against one another, where we might have a little challenge with what our today's message title is, relative harmony, where we might have a little challenge with relative harmony, you know, both with our relations and all of our relations, you know, our blood relations and beyond. So a lot of times what happens is when we come into scenarios where we're feeling a little tense, like there might be some trouble with Uncle M, or, you know, Aunt Josephine, or whatever it is that we might feel a little bit when we come into that family gathering or we come into some other kind of gathering. And so we kind of have the guard up. Anybody ever do that? Or you might even start to find excuses of why you can't come. But then we finally do show up, right? We show up, and then a lot of times we come with this sort of dichotomy in our minds of it's either got to be grin and bear it or win and lose it. Win or lose it. And so grin and bear it, of course, is just sort of, I'm going to kind of get through the process and I'm going to be there out of my duty as a member of this group, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to, you know, shake the boat at all, rock the waters. I'm just mixing up all my metaphors today. Rock the boat. I don't know where shake the waters comes from, but... Thank you. So whatever it is that might be, you know, in mind there, that so we might come in with that sort of grin and bear it, or we might come in with this, I've got to really, you know, I'm going to win this one, you know, so it's a win or lose argument kind of thing. It becomes about ego, about being right. And so we kind of get in those places of difficulty with one another. But, you know, in the end, it's always what's going on inside of us, right? That's our teachings in Unity. We always come back to what's the work inside of us that's happening? What's the conflict, maybe, that's going on inside of us? And so it's that work to find that place of authenticity and peace, you know? So it's not a grin and bear it, but it's a show up fully as we are, in our own values, in our own belief system, in our own caring, in our own compassion, with an openness and a willingness to make connections. Jesus said something very interesting that might help us on this journey today, and although it's a perplexing scripture, where he says, Jesus, the one known as the Prince of Peace, says, I did not come to the earth to bring peace. Interesting. Well, what did you come to bring? And what follows is, I came to bring the sword, to divide mother against daughter and father against son and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law so that foes would be within the same household. What did he mean? What was he saying? What is this sword that he's talking about? Certainly it can't be a sword of violence. Elizabeth Sand Turner, who's a wonderful metaphysician of the Bible, if you've not ever read any of her books, she's written a book on the Hebrew scriptures, as well as the New Testament, as well as Revelation and the letters of Paul. And it really gives some illumination of some of these scriptures through that metaphysical lens. Of course, we can all read through our own metaphysical lens, but it helps to have a guide sometimes. And she talks about the difference between destructive peace and constructive peace. That destructive peace is the kind that comes at any cost. It's the kind that might include violence, and then we call it peace in the end after the horrible war or whatever it is, the gang violence, whatever it may be. Or the kind of violence that is that sort of repressed quiet, that grin and bear it thing, you know, where we don't share how we feel because we don't want to make waves. And so there's that, what I was looking for before. And so there's that sort of just pushing down really who we are, almost kind of like, you know, sucking in the breath, not really being fully who we are and fully present. Yet I believe what Jesus was offering in this sword was a way of being truly authentic, being fully ourselves, being relaxed and open and at ease, completely in integrity, and also able to connect with others. It's a tricky walk, can be sometimes, right? When we're faced with these kinds of challenges or potential conflicts. Yet that kind of constructive peace is the kind that sees with the eye of oneness, that sees with the heart of oneness, that understands, just like in the meditation we did, just like me. Just like me, this individual wants fulfillment in their life. Just like me, this individual wants love and peace, connection, kindness, wants to have somewhere to serve and wants to be served in some way. We all want the same things. And so when we can soften our focus a bit and relax into the just like me, we begin to turn our foes into friends. It really, in some ways, is that simple. We can come with different ways of approaching our wielding the sword with others. You know, come with curiosity. So come to the table with a kind of open curiosity that doesn't bring the expectations of all the things that have happened in the past or the way that you know how this is going to roll because it always rolls this way at Christmas time with this family or whatever it is that we've decided it works this way or this particular holiday party that I go to with my neighbors. Whatever it is that we have in our minds of how it's always been, to become like a child again, to shed those expectations, to come new with an openness and a curiosity, and to ask questions of the other, or to make statements. Interesting. When did you first come to that viewpoint? What has shaped that? What is it that you really deeply want for yourself, or your family, or your neighborhood, or your country? You know, opening ourselves in that way to listen from a different place, once we've listened from a different place, it may also open up the opportunity for us to be able to say, what we're feeling. If you'd be willing to listen for a few moments, I would love to share with you my experience on that topic or some of my ideas on that topic. Would that be okay with you? You know, even like setting it up that way so it's not just a crosstalk, crossing, you know, anybody talk over each other in their family? That's why I love counsel so much. It just slows everything down. Somebody's got a talking piece. It's like, okay, talker, listener, speaker, listener. And you could even do that in your family or wherever you go, you know, to say, hey, you know, my heart's been hurting about what's going on in our world, and I would love if we all just took a turn holding in the talking piece and talked for a few minutes on how we feel about what's happening, and everybody just listened. I mean, what a different dynamic that can create, right? For a family or a gathering where it may go differently, typically. And to even point out, say if somebody makes some joke or slur that's offensive to you, to even point out, you know, those people, whoever those people are just like us. They want, just like us, all the things we just mentioned, the love, attention, joy, prosperity, fulfillment. It brings us all back to the heart, doesn't it? We all can get that. So that's one offering, one of many offerings. Another thing that we can do is just hold the idea wherever we are in whatever conversations and situations we get into, to ask within ourselves, what is needed right now? What is wanted right now? Even for ourselves, what is needed right now? What is wanted right now? You may be surprised at what comes. You know, it might just be a listening ear. It might just be to pass the gravy, you know, and just comment on the meal. Sometimes that's really where we need to go. You know, for years, my brother-in-law and I have had this ongoing process of me learning to use the sword, and sometimes very messily. And, you know, it used to be long ago that we would get into conversations around religion or politics, and his face would start getting really red, and his voice would start raising, and I wouldn't pay attention to the cues, you know? And so he'd tell me all the reasons why my opinion was wrong, and I'd get angry and respond back. And so it was just this icky sort of, you know, then we'd both walk away, you know, and it just didn't feel good. And so it was like, you know, how can we get more skillful at this? So for a time, I just didn't engage those conversations. It would just be, you know, asking about his life and his hobbies, you know, what's going on with your garden, how's your work going, and just don't touch those topics. Occasionally he'd ask for my opinion over the years on a current event, and so I'd give it, and then if I noticed that, you know, the energy was rising, I had learned enough skill with the sword within to say, you know, I respect your opinion and your passion, and we just don't agree, and then just, you know, drop the topic. Last Christmas, I was over at my sister and brother-in-law's, who have slightly different, maybe very different, religious views from mine. I mean, my sister introduced me to Unity, so there's some kind of connection there. But anyway, so we had this conversation, and, you know, it was definitely rich and diverse in our conversation, but I enjoyed it. And in the morning, he actually checked in with me and said, hey, I hope I didn't come on too strong last night, which I thought he didn't. And so I was like, wow, we're both learning. You know, over the years, this thing has been like a chisel, not a sword. It's been kind of messy, not so skillful. But we're both getting more skillful, I think. And I think what happens is when one of us takes the lead, when one of us says, okay, I am going to really figure this out. How can I stay, keep my own integrity, keep my own authenticity, not sell out in any kind of way, and still be open-hearted, connecting, listening, curious, you know, and be in family together, be connected, be in harmony in some way. How can we get this, you know, over the years or over the days, whatever, maybe you're a quick learner, so maybe just be days for you or minutes for you. But just learning to use that sword of truth, that sword of constructive peace that Jesus was offering us. I think he was very smart to place this scripture in the household, because we make an earnest effort with those who are closest to us to create that kind of peace and that kind of harmony. And then we can extend it out, you know, to all, not just the people who think like us. That really seems to be the rub where we are in our world right now, to not just gather with those who think like us and who will continue to buoy up our opinions, and so we can all be glad about how smart we all are that we think alike. But instead to get in the mix a little bit, but in the mix with this kind of curiosity, this kind of openness, this kind of kindness and integrity. It's a different kind of exchange that we can create when we offer that to one another. But I like that he chose the sword. It gets our attention. You know, he didn't choose something very soft. He chose something that really gets your attention. And it's tough work, you know. The sword is something tough to learn. It's often heavy, you know. It's a little, can be a little scary, unwieldy. And so it's something, that's kind of what the art is like, cutting away the dross. For within ourselves, then we're looking at the places that don't serve us anymore. The old erroneous beliefs. And like that process of when new spiritual ideas get introduced to us and we're in old limiting thinking, there's kind of a process of conflict or what we would call chemicalization, spiritual chemicalization. And so that process is going on where new ideas are being added and there's kind of a reaction to it. And so over time, we kind of learn to cut away what doesn't work anymore, cut away the old ideas, the old beliefs, the old ways of showing up, and show up in a new way that feels more true to who we are, more honoring of the divine in us and the divine in all beings. So that inner work, as Gibran once said, you know, the teacher says, love your enemies, and so I obeyed and I loved myself. You know, it's recognizing that a lot of times it's what's in us, the ways that we're thinking, the perspectives that we're bringing, that is the work. And once we begin to work that, everything around us sort of shifts into a different kind of harmony, a different kind of rich experience of diversity. You know, I was in Santa Barbara this week on the beach. I know you're going to get out your small violins now. And doing what we often do when Brenly and I are, we're with little ones, especially when we're in nature, is if we see litter, we just pick it up as we go, you know. And I just, thing after thing I was picking up, and I just, you know, I started getting that mindset, oh, I can't believe this, you know, this is close to the, almost in the water, these big containers of food, and, you know, and so the judging mind gets going, right? So I'm picking up the litter with the judging mind, you know. And so I notice this and think, oh, okay, well, I don't really want to do it with that mindset. And so began to switch into service. Oh, it's an opportunity to serve. And so then I began to pick up the litter as I went in the path with service. And I noticed there was an older man and his young maybe son or a young boy with him. And they were really watching me. And I thought, you know, as we use this sword, all of us, I wonder, we get more and more nuanced. I wonder if they could tell the difference between the person who was picking up litter with judgment on her mind and the person who was picking up litter with a sense of service and humility or humbleness on her mind, you know? I think we do become more and more sensitive the more and more skilled we become to these kinds of energies that we're giving off to one another, no matter what it is that we're doing. And so it's that work that is the work of the sword, the work of constructive peace on our way. It's all about our intention, you know? What do we bring with us as an intention? Do we bring an intention of being grateful? Do we bring an intention of being in harmony? Do we bring an intention of being in integrity? Even speaking those affirmations to ourselves while we're in a difficult situation or when we're going into a place where we think there possibly could be conflict here. But I'm bringing a curious and open mind. And my intention today is to remain curious and open, to ask questions, to say things like, interesting, fabulous, fantastic. How did that come to be? When did you first begin to shape those ideas? It's so interesting to me that we grew up in the same household and we have such different viewpoints. At what point do you think the two of us went in different directions? You know, those are just curious questions. They don't have to be putting the other person on the defensive. You know, they can be done in such a way that it's an invitation to say, huh, isn't that interesting that we've all, you know, ended up in different places? And what do we now have to offer each other is the second part of that question. You know, now that we have these different perspectives, what is it that we can bring, you know? So we can come in with a fight or flight kind of standpoint, and there might be times, you know, even Jesus said, shake the dust off your sandals and move on sometimes, right? There are times that's the appropriate response, and we'll know it within ourselves if we're in this place of integrity or authenticity. But there also will be times we stay in it, we stay engaged. More often than not, we stand in that place of truth. We stand with that sword of truth and know that it aligns us with all that we are and all that we're becoming. And from there, there's a whole different world that can open up for us in working together, in listening to each other, in inviting all perspectives to the table to better understand one another. You probably remember the story about the lion and the mouse. The lion was the great king of the jungle. You know, he would roar, and he was the largest. He was the top predator, of course, and would walk with his big paws all around the jungle and sort of vibrate the earth a little bit. And one day he got into some thorny branches and got a thorn in his paw. And he roared and he roared and he roared with pain. And the other creatures didn't want to help, either because they were afraid of him or because they kind of thought he got what he deserved, you know? So they all just sort of stayed quiet. And after a while, he finally was so exhausted from the pain, he just fell asleep for a while. When he woke up, there was a little mouse running by. And he put his good paw on top of that mouse's tail. And he said, ha ha, I'm going to have you for breakfast. But the mouse was clever. The mouse knew immediately what it had to offer the lion. And it said, oh, but if you eat me for breakfast, I won't be able to remove that thorn from your paw. And then he went on to say, you know, we could really help each other. You know, I'm just a little tiny morsel. You're going to want a much bigger meal than me. Why don't you let me help you? And then you can go and hunt something bigger. Well, the lion thought for a moment. And the more he thought about it, the more he realized that actually this thing that he was about to harm was the key to his freedom. And it's in that little pregnant pause that we can all recognize that this one who's sitting across from us, who we're thinking of as foe in this moment, in that moment, that person is the key to our freedom. Or this one within us that we are judging in the moment, we realize, ha, that I was about to judge is the key to my freedom. And it is in that moment that the lion decides, instead of to hurt the mouse, to let the mouse help him and to befriend the mouse instead. And so the two of them become fast friends.